I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Green, for the special, and I hope you listened to the song this morning, and because I'm telling you, this year, some of you are going to run into some stumbling blocks. Some of you are going to run into a wall. And you're not going to have, you're going to think, preacher, I don't have anywhere to turn to. Yeah, you can. You can tell it to Jesus. Got all the answers of all the issues that you'll ever face. By the way, He already knows all the issues you're going to face this year anyway. And so He already has the answers in place for you. And so I hope that you'll take time out sometime today and dedicate this year to Christ. If you're a born-again believer this morning, let me challenge you to do something. I'm talking about give it all to Jesus this year. Give everything to Him. Give Him your life. Give Him your time. Give Him your talents. Give Him the treasures of your life. Turn it all over to Him. And listen, if you'll dedicate yourself to do that for 1 year, you will never be the same again. And I'm telling you, you will live the Christian life like you've never experienced before. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You come talk to me, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference in your life if we'll dedicate ourselves to Christ. By the way, the Scripture says, as a believer, that's just our reasonable service. That's the very reasonable thing that we ought to do. Well, take your Bible, turn, if you would, to the little book of Micah. Micah chapter number 6. I've preached from these verses before, but I felt that these verses kind of go with exactly what I want to speak about this morning. You know, with a new year, it brings all kinds of new promises, new resolutions, new commitments. And by the way, I'm not against promises and resolutions and commitments. And we ought to do those things. But what I want to say to you this morning is that when a new year comes, it's like where we draw a line in the sand and think, okay, I'm going to change some things. This is kind of the line in the sand. I'm going to change the way I'm doing these things. And by the way, most of us make all these commitments, and we do pretty good for about a month and a half or two. You know what I'm talking about? We do pretty good for the first couple of months, and then we start kind of getting away from the program. We start kind of getting away from our promises and commitments and resolutions and all of these kind of things. And some of us will even go out and we'll vow, you know what, I'm going to exercise more. And we'll go buy us a treadmill. We'll go on Craigslist. We'll buy us a treadmill. We'll buy us a Nordic machine. We'll turn one room into nothing but a gymnasium of exercise machines. And boy, we'll get in there, and boy, we'll work and work and work for about 2 months, and we think, boy, you know what? This takes a lot of time. And the next thing we know, all the machinery and stuff we've turned now into a closet of clothes hangers. After you get done with them, clothes hang on them real well. Boxes stack on them real well. And pretty soon we go in that room and think, man, look at all of that commitment that I made and all that money I spent on that commitment, and I didn't follow through with it. A lot of people last night, maybe even some of you this morning, got on your knees and made some commitments to the Lord. I hope that you did. But I want to take, if I could today, Micah chapter 6. Would you stand with me if you found your place? We're going to read 3 verses, 6, 7, and 8 together this morning, with verse 8 being the text verse. Let me just say to you, Micah is prophesying during a time where Israel is literally discombobulated. Now, if you don't know what that word means, it means they were messed up. Everything was out of whack. Their worship was a farce. It was hypocrisy. I mean, they had gotten to the place now to where they had gone so far away from God, they were actually offering their children to false gods, sacrificing them to false gods. They had gotten so dishonest. They had gotten so unethical. They had gotten so unprincipled. They had gotten out of the Christ-like character. And they were so sidetracked that Micah prophesied. And I want you to notice here in verse number 6, we're going to pick up in the middle of the chapter, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil?" Listen now. They were so out of whack, they thought, how do we get right with God? How do we please our God? "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression?" That's how out of whack they were. They were literally willing to give their firstborn. And then they said, "The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul." Verse 8. "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Now I want you to focus on verse number 8. That's our text verse today. And I want to focus on the little phrase that Micah used here, and God says, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" And I want to take that phrase and talk to you and preach to you this morning on this subject, God's simple requirements. Now listen, folks, I'm going to say this before we go on. We think, oh my goodness, the Christian life, I could never live it. It's just too hard. Listen, when you boil it down, all you got to do is follow the requirements. All you have to do is nail down what is entailed in serving God and do those, and I promise you, you'll find out that you do have the ability as a child of God, through the Holy Ghost of God that lives in you, to do what's required of you. The question is asked, what doth the Lord require of thee? Father, bless our time this morning. Thank you for the reading of your word. Teach us, Holy Ghost, as you promised that you would, in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned, today is a day of promises. Today is a day that many plan to turn over a new leaf. Today, this New Year's Day, is a day that many will, swear to changes in their life and promise, I'm never going back. People have made vows today to quit drinking or quit smoking or quit partying. Some will vow to be a better father. Some will vow to be a better mother. Hopefully some children will vow to be better children. Some will vow to lose weight. Some will vow to spend more time with their family. Some will vow to save money. And I want to say that all of these are honorable things. All of these are things this morning that I think that you want are wonderful things to commit to and vow to. But I wonder how many of God's people it ever entered into their mind, instead of making vows that benefit you personally. I wonder how many of us got up today or maybe got on our knees last night and made any vows that benefit the kingdom of God. I wonder how many of us even thought about making a resolution about our life as far as our service to God. I wonder how many of God's people got up today and said, you know what, Lord, I make the commitment. I'm going to start being a soul winner again. I'm going to start going after people for Jesus Christ. I'm going to start passing tracts out to give a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many today stopped by the table out there and picked up a planner to read through their Bible this year. I wonder how many people said, Lord God, I've got the holy, the inerrant, the preserved Word of God in my hand for the English-speaking people in the King James Bible. I wonder how many said, Lord, you know what? You see this blessed book? I'm going to read every word of it, including all them crazy names in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I'm going to try to pronounce them. Hey, if you don't, then you can do what Dr. B.G. Buchanan does when you come to it. Just say hard word. Okay? That's just how he reads his Bible. Comes, if he can't pronounce it, he just says hard word. Now, when you get over there into some of those names and some of those genealogies, you'll be going so-and-so and the hard word, and hard word. But you know what? It's still the Word of God. There's still a purpose. I wonder how many of us vowed to read the Word of God through from cover to cover this year. You know, it's a shame. It's a disgrace to the Church of the Living God and to Christianity to have people that call themselves followers of Jesus Christ and have never read through His Word one time in their lifetime. No wonder the Muslims laugh at us. No wonder the Mormons laugh at us. No wonder the JWs laugh at us. No wonder the Buddhists and the Hindus laugh at us. You know why? They don't think we're committed. We won't even read the Word of God. I wonder how many people made a commitment to the Lord to read through the Bible. I wonder how many people this morning got up and said, you know what, Lord, this year I'm making this commitment. I'm going to start a devotional time with my family in my home. Amen, daddies. I said amen, daddies. Because if it's going to happen, you're going to have to develop it. Now listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, so I'm trying to get off to a good start this year. And listen, I spent all deer season, didn't shoot anything. I got up this morning, I know it's going to be a good year because I had a fly in my house and I took him out. It's going to be a good year. I don't know how he got in, but he went on to fly heaven. Or hell, yes. But I wonder how many of us decide we're going to develop a devotional time. And again, please understand, listen to me, folks. Daddies, everybody look up here at me. The reason that most of us don't develop a devotional time with our family is because we don't have one ourselves. And our family knows that we don't have one, and they think, oh my goodness, you know what? If I develop one in my family, they're going to take me seriously because they know I don't have a personal devotion myself. Amen, glory to God. It's all right. Hey, this is honest day, okay? This is the first day of the year. We might as well be honest, right? We might as well be honest about where we are and developing a devotional time. I wonder if somebody got up this morning and dedicated their life to say, Lord, I'm going to dedicate some time to prayer every day. Now, here's what we think. We think if we don't pray 30 minutes to an hour we don't have a prayer life. How about let's just start off with 5 minutes? That'd be okay with everybody? If you just start off with 5 minutes, just getting up, acknowledging that there's a God in heaven that cares about your soul. that provides you with your necessities in life, that gave you breath to breathe today. How about let's just acknowledge that? That'll take about 5 minutes. If you pray for nobody else or anything else, how about take about 5 minutes and just acknowledge what God has done for you? I wonder how many of God's people got up this morning and said, Lord, this year in 2012, I'm going to get involved in some type of ministry. Can I say, child of God, that God saved you to serve, not to just sit? And there's a ministry within this church waiting with you, and it's got your name on it. You say, yeah, it does. How can I know it's got your name on it? Well, I tell you what, you come see me and I'll put your name on it. All right? You see, God's got a place for everybody. Listen, a church that's alive and vibrant is a church where its members are active within the ministry. I'm just saying, I wonder how many people dedicated to get involved in ministry. I wonder how many of God's people got up this morning and said, Lord, I haven't been right in my tithing and giving and offering to God's work. But you know what, Lord? Today, I'm making that commitment to get back on board in the giving program of God. You see, that's when it gets real quiet, because that's a nerve to most people. Because you know what? Our God in heaven, we say, oh Lord, I worship the God that sits on the throne. Most of us don't. We worship the God that's in our back pocket. Come on now. It's honest day. It's honest. First day of the year. Might as well be honest. Listen, most of us give more attention to George and Abe, and some of us ain't seen Ben, so we don't give him much attention. But I tell you, old George and Abe gets a lot of our attention. Now, what I'm saying to you, folks, listen, I'm not against making vows and commitments, but there's just some things we need to get right with God about. I wonder how many got up this morning and said, Lord, I'm going to start being faithful to church. I'm going to start being faithful to the house of God. Listen, I'm so tired of living in a generation, dear folks, to where, listen, people are developing ministries so they can get out of church instead of get into church. I don't know about you. I need more God. I don't need less. I need more fellowship. I don't need less fellowship. I need more preaching, not less preaching. I need more of it. You say, well, God doesn't say we have to go to church all the time. Okay, if you want to get real biblical about it, let me take you to Acts chapter 5. The early church went every day. Every day. I wonder how many people of God would say, if God says, now, here's a commandment, thou shalt be in my house every day. Most of us say, well, I just don't think I can do that. Yeah, you can. I promise you, you put God first, you'll find out there's more time in a day than you realized. And you can get a whole lot more done. How many of God's people are putting God first? You see, I'm just afraid that most of our New Year's resolutions and vows that most of us have made in our silent, quiet time have been vows to benefit us and not the kingdom of God. Have been vows to benefit the things that we desire rather than the things that our Father desires. You see, today we live such lavish lives. Our freezers are full while thousands of Americans walked the streets last night without anything to eat. You see, we have homes that are comfortable and cozy while tens of thousands slept on the streets last night in the cold and under bridges. Our families are happy and secure while some little boy or girl that last night may have been abused, no one there to tell them that Jesus cares about their life. No one's going out and telling them that Lord, that Jesus loves them and cares about them, and you listen to me, that they are somebody. So many young people are told they're zeros and nobodies. Let me tell you something, you come to Jesus, you become a somebody. Our lives have become so comfortable to the place that going out and telling somebody about Jesus is for new believers, not those of us that have been saved a length of time, because we've grown past that. Let me tell you something. Jesus taught soul winning. Jesus taught door-to-door evangelism till the day he ascended in the cloud back to the right hand of the Father. Let me tell you something. A person that doesn't tell people about Christ is not a sign of maturity, it's a sign of immaturity. You see, our personal bank accounts are full while many churches around the country struggle to pay their bills or to try to help renovate or try to help increase the appearance of some of their church. Why? Because most people are holding on to their money. Won't give it to God. You say, preacher, I didn't really plan on coming to church here. Oh, well, that's all right. It'll be all right. Once it's all said and done, we're going to leave here today. We're going to go slap ourselves on the knee. Boy, wasn't that good. Because it's the new year. And yet, you know what we'll do? Our New Year's resolutions. What's happened is, church, Christian, we've lost our focus and priority. I just want to just say that, let's just answer the question that was asked here. What doth the Lord require? I don't want to know what men require. I want what the Lord requires. Because you know what? One of these days, when I face the Lord face to face, I'm not going to have to answer to a man. I'm going to have to answer to the Father. I'm going to have to answer to the Lord. So what does He require of me? That word require means to demand. Listen now, by right and by authority. Can I ask you, does God have the right to demand or require certain things from me? All right, let me ask you, mamas and daddies, do you have the right to require certain things from your children? Do you? Do you have the authority to do so? Do you have the right to do so? And everybody said, oh yeah. Okay, let's go a little step further. Does your employer have the right to require certain things of you? If you don't believe so, go against it and see if you have a job. And you'll say, well, you know what? I just don't think you can. So, yeah, I can, because my signature is on the check. You see, even in America, the government requires certain things of its citizens, like paying taxes. You say, oh, I hate that. Well, you can hate it all you want, but still a requirement. And by the way, if you don't pay your taxes, you're not right with God. Thank you. You say, well, I don't believe it. Don't matter what you believe. Jesus paid taxes, you ought to. All right, let's move on off of that. I can tell that went over like a lead balloon. Listen, if an employer requires demands requirements, and a mom and daddy demand requirements, and the government demands requirements, where in the world did we get off thinking that our Creator, our God, our Redeemer, our Sustainer of life shouldn't demand requirements? There are requirements that are demanded by God Almighty. And let me say, those who say, well, God doesn't demand any... Listen, that's an unfounded idea. Now, with that said, I'm going to give you a few things here to think about before we go today and we can eat New Year's lunch. Okay? You got that ham roasting? I don't want it to burn. He said, man, you've already burned my stomach as it is. I can't digest this. Well, listen, I promise you, when you leave today... Go home, think about what the Scripture says, and ask yourself, what does the Lord require of thee? What does He require of me? You know, young believers, when they get saved, you know what they say? What am I supposed to do now? I'll show you what you're supposed to do. First of all, let me just say this. Look at verse number 8. Before we can go any further here, I must say this. If anybody expects to abide by any of the other requirements that we find in the latter part of verse number 8, the first requirement that we must meet is have a sincere, born-again experience with Jesus Christ. You cannot follow through with any of the other requirements if you have foregone and lost the number one requirement. And you know what that requirement is? Salvation. God provides salvation. Now I want you to notice in verse number 8. Here's what Micah relayed to the people. Here's the phrase. He said, He hath shown thee. He said, God's not trying to hide this from you. God has shown you what's required of you. Can I say to you this morning that God has shown us without any question His divine love without any question whatsoever. For God so loved, listen, He didn't just love, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What greater love can God show than to give Himself a ransom for us? To give His life a ransom so that we could be saved. That's the ultimate sign of love. Jesus showed His love for us. God says, you know what? Here it is. I'll show it to you. Show me the love of God. I'll show you the cross where Jesus died. I'll show you an empty tomb where Jesus rose after 3 days and three nights. I'll show you a taxi cloud where Jesus ascended back to the right hand of the Father. I'll show you His love. I'll show you His love. Micah said, He hath shown thee. He's shown you what's good. And may I say this morning, if you don't know Christ, He's shown us His love. He's shown us the way of salvation. Jesus said very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That pretty much settles it. That means it's not Muhammad. Can I say to you that Muhammad is dead and still dead? Can I say to you this morning that Buddha is dead and still dead? Can I say to you this morning that Joseph Smith is dead and still dead? Yeah. Died, still dead. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ died, rose again, and now sits at the right hand of God. What more proof do we need? We have it written in Scripture. This is more authoritative than any history book you can get in school. And I've been told by the Scriptures that that is God's love. That's His way. You see, He has shown us His love. He's shown us the way of salvation. Can I tell you something else He's shown us? He's shown us the benefits of being saved. You say, oh, I love benefits. What is the fringe benefits of salvation? Well, let's start off by saying you get to spend eternity with God. You say, well, what's the alternative? Eternity in hell. That's the alternative. You know what? I kind of like the alternative of being with the Lord, don't you? I kind of like this kind of, I kind of enjoy this thing of immortality, the thought of immortality, the thing of never having a cold again, the thing of never having a sore throat again. I kind of enjoy that immortality. I kind of enjoy that type of teaching and understanding that that's what I've got to look forward to. But not only do I have eternity with God, can I say to you, Jesus said, I got a mansion. That don't excite you? Okay, let's go to the next one, number three. I don't know about you, but I kind of got an idea that I'm going to like my mansion. Because I think, listen now, I don't think these mansions are track mansions. I don't believe that. You say, well, that's what I believe. I believe they're all going to be equal. Well, isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't say that everybody's going to be rewarded equally. I have a sneaky suspicion that everybody's mansion ain't going to be a track mansion. I think it's going to be custom built to you. You say, based on what? I don't know, maybe based on your works. You see, I'm just saying to you that Jesus has shown us the benefits. Eternity with God, immortality, incorruption, a mansion in heaven. Oh, listen to this now. It gets even better. How about fellowship with the saints of God? Many of you that have lost loved ones, can I tell you something? I got some good news. It's going to be a family reunion one day. And man, I'm telling you, it's going to be a big time family reunion. It's going to be the reunion of all believers of all the ages together. And you say, oh, what are we going to do? We're going to eat? Yeah, we're going to eat. Sure are. So what else are we going to do? We're going to serve and worship God. He said, what else are we going to do? I'll tell you what else we're going to do. We're going to sing. He said, what are we going to sing? I don't know, but I think it's probably going to have something to do with holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Glory and honor and praise unto thee. Listen, I don't know about you, but what comes out of my mouth the first time I see Jesus, I don't think is going to be, you're awesome. I was driving to a drive-thru yesterday to get something. And it's, you know, it's just awesome. It's one of those buzzwords today. And I got through and I paid for it. And she said, here, sir, thank you for coming, and you have an awesome year. I thought, well, thank you. I didn't expect to have somebody tell me to have an awesome year. I thought maybe an awesome day, but she wants me to have an awesome year. I just want to say to you this morning that God has shown us what's good. You know what? Now we got to decide. If you're here this morning without Jesus, He's shown you His love. He's shown you the way of salvation. He's shown you the benefits of salvation. Now your choice is decide whether you want Christ or not. Because you can't do these next three real quick. You can't do these next three and meet these next three requirements unless you meet the first one. And the first requirement is salvation. Here's the second thing if you'll notice in verse number 8. What does the Lord require of thee? First thing He says, to do justly. Now, you're going to see the first two, do justly and to love mercy. Did you notice the first two are kind of man-directed? And the last one is God-directed? You say, I wonder why he gave two of them toward men. Guess where you living? You living in the real world right now. You're living among sinners. You're living among people that aren't perfect. And so here's what he tells us to do. He says, let me tell you what's required here. Number one, if you do justly. That word justly means to do right according to truth and facts. You do right according to integrity, listen now, and according to principle. Did you see the banners up that hang behind me of our new theme? Character under construction. There ain't nobody here that the work is finished. Remember the little song, He's Still Working on Me? Doesn't matter what our age is, whether we're 3 years old or 90 years old this morning, He's still working. He's still working. You want to conform us to the image of His Son. But He wants us during our walk through this life to do justly. He wants us to do right. Now, did you notice here? He said, I want you to do justly, do right according to truth and fact. First of all, He wants us to do justly before men. You see that theme, that word character right there? It's in a famine today. We're in a famine in America of character, principle, and ethics today. You say, what does that mean, preacher? I tell you what that means. That means lying, cheating to benefit yourself without any regard of how it affects anybody else. As long as you get to the top, it doesn't matter if you step on mom, dad, or kids to get there. That's the mentality of today. We've got to do justly, the Lord said. We need to be honest. We need to be dependable. Now hang on there just a moment, I'm going to cuss, okay? We need to be punctual. Let's see, some of you thought, man, love it, preacher, don't say a dirty word. Well, punctual to some is a dirty word. You say, what's punctual? That means be on time. Do you know there's a reason people set a time? And it seems like the hardest area that we have to be on time is spiritual things. Have you ever noticed that? Now, tonight, I know some of you are going to have a nervous breakdown, but you need to be in the house of God instead of home sitting at your TV at 7:20 tonight to watch the Cowboys. I can already tell you, folks, they ain't winning. Okay, I can already tell you that. You say, do you want them to? I want them to, but listen, God's already told me they ain't winning. So you know what? I can come to church tonight and serve God. But you know something? I'm telling you, 6 or 7:20 on the dot, you know where some of God's people is going to be? And you know where they're going to be there? On time. They're not going to miss a single minute of it. And yet, God wants to meet with us today, first day of the year in the house of God, and you know what? Some of them are missing out. God wants us to do justly. He wants us to be honest and dependable and punctual. He wants us to be hard workers. He wants us to be grateful, compassionate, forgiving, loving, and giving. You say, how am I supposed to accomplish this? We're getting there. But what He wants us to do is to do justly before men. And then He wants us to do justly before Him. Before God. You say, how can I be just before God? Obey. You know what? I raised 5 kids, and you know one of the things that my kids figured out over the long haul, how to keep from being disciplined? You know how they learned how to keep from getting a spanking or how to keep from doing all of these the other things? I was just raised listen, folks, I wish to God my parents believed in time out. I wish to God my parents believed in sticking my nose in the corner. I do. But they didn't believe in that. So what did they believe in? Corporal punishment. He said, where'd they get that from? I hate to tell you, but they got it from the Bible. It's what the Bible says. And you know something? I'm 50 years old today, and listen, I don't know how many whoopings I got, and I got whoopings, my friend. I think all but one of them I deserved. But can I tell you this morning that I can get on the phone and call my aged mom and dad today, and I can tell them, thank you. I love you. When I see them, you know what? I embrace them, love them, kiss them on the cheek. You say, but I thought you said they whooped you. I don't know how many whippings I got. I'm going to guess it had to be in the thousands in my lifetime. Had to be. And listen, I just lived in the day that, you know what, you got trouble at school and you got a paddling at school. Guess what? You was getting another one you got home. That was kind of the whipped cream and cherry on top. You see, we need to do justly before God. We need to obey. We need to be serving. We need to be faithful. We need to be doers. We need to be thankful. And listen, we need to be worshipers. You know what? I'm afraid, dear folks, what we call worship is not what God calls worship. We come, listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. It's the first year, we're just going to be honest. I think what we do is we come to God here on the first day of the week and we flip him token servant. Here you go, Lord. You ever seen people come to a fountain? You ever seen them take a penny and they go? They're just flicking them in. I think that's what sometimes we do to the Lord. Here you go, Lord. I'll give you, oh, preacher's already had about 30 minutes or so. Here you go. I'm not sure that that's exactly what God has in mind. But you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to do justly. Next, he wants us to love mercy. I want to say, did you notice the terminology the scripture used? God didn't say, I just want you to show mercy. He said, I want you to love it. See my wife out here? We've been married almost 33 years. Can I tell you, I love my wife and I show her that I love her. And the thing about it is God says, I don't want you to just show and not love. He said, I want you to show and love. He said, I want you to love mercy. You say, what is he talking about there, preacher? He's talking about turning, when the time comes, turn the other cheek. He's talking about an act of displaying favor. He's talking about being long-suffering, forbearing with people. You say, but they did wrong. You ever done wrong? Can I ask you this? Has God ever extended mercy to you? You say, oh, preacher, when has God extended mercy to us? Well, he extended mercy on the cross, but I imagine if you sat back and thought about it, God's extended mercy to you in so many different areas in your lifetime, you're probably surprised like I am that I'm even alive. You see, God requires us to love mercy. That means for the believer, mercy should be our first response. Now, we got several people in our church at work in emergency rooms and medical field. They have what they call first responders. That's the people that get to the scene first. They kind of take care of all of the things. They're first responders right to the scene. And by the way, I just want to say publicly, thank God for them. But you know, as a believer, you know the first thing that ought to get to the scene first? Mercy. Not criticism. Not backbiting. Not accusation. The first thing that ought to show up on the scene first in a Christian's life is the first responder of mercy. That's long-suffering. That's displaying favor for Christ's sake. You see, we're to love mercy, and to love mercy is to love God and understand that, you know what, he's extended mercy to you and I. You see, sometimes people mistake mercy as condoning, but literally, mercy is comforting. Just because I extend mercy to somebody doesn't mean I condone their sin. But it does mean that, you know what, I'm trying to comfort them for Christ's sake. Well, he said, what's required of thee? Do justly, do right, not show mercy only, but love mercy. Look at the last thing. And then he says, to walk humbly with thy God. That word humbly means to be, serve him unselfishly, submissive, be subjective to. To have a subjected life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And can I say to you this morning that when you walk humbly with God, it's your escape from temptation? Did you know the Word of God says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Galatians 5:16. It's your escape from temptation. It's your answer to the joyful life. Say, preacher, I've just lost my joy. Don't tell anybody because you're telling them you don't have a walk with God. That's what you're saying. I lost my joy. You know how to get it back? Walk humbly with thy God. You know what he wants to do? He wants to walk with you. My wife and I, 50 years old now, you know what we like to do? When we have opportunity, we need to get to do more of that. I made some resolutions this year. Okay? So I need to do more of it. But you know what we like enjoy doing? We enjoy holding hands. And can I say to you that my wife and I, 33 years of marriage, we still in love. Glory to God. Did you know something? It wasn't something of me. It's because of our relationship with Christ. We have a lot in common. But you know what we like to do? We like to hold hands. I don't like to do that. Married couples? Okay. Well, my wife and I do. So we like to hold hands and we like to walk. And you know what we normally do when we walk together? We talk. We talk. We talk and reminisce about things that are going on in our lives and just a wonderful thing. And listen, a walk with God, it's an escape from temptation. It's an answer to the joyful life. Hey, it's a source of wisdom. You want wisdom? Let him ask of God. You know how you get that? When you walk with God. Hey, it's your promise to answered prayer. Anybody here for answered prayer? I am. You know how God can guarantee? He said, walk humbly with me. Walk humbly with me. He said, walk without any selfish motives. Walk with me without an agenda. Listen, some of us want to walk with God, but listen, we've got an agenda behind why we walk with God. Because we want something from him. Hey, folks, listen to me. He already knows your motive. And he knows if the only reason that you pray is because you have an agenda, surprise, he already knows it. You see, it's your direction for life's decisions. You got major decisions to make? Hey, you got major purchases to make? I want to recommend something. Walk with God. Walk humbly with God. And you know what? He'll give you the answers. Hey, when you walk humbly with God, it's your counsel for parenting. It's your counsel for marriage. It's your counsel to deal with your finances. Hey, when you walk with God, it's your burden for souls. It's your burden for service. It's your burden for sacrifice. You know what God wants from us in 2012? If you're a child of God, he wants you to sacrifice you. Folks, there are no more blood sacrifices. The sacrifice, according to Romans chapter 12, is you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to come this morning and lay our life on the altar and sacrifice ourselves and say, Lord, I've lived for myself all of these years. I'm laying my life down and I'm going to make an improvement in my life in 2012. And that improvement is my life is yours, everything. My time, my talents, my treasure, everything. Have you done that? You know, people last night or this morning made all kinds of resolutions. And you know what some of them are willing to do? They're willing to give up time. They're willing to pay some of their time to try to fulfill those resolutions. God's just got some simple requirements. He said, I've already shown you what they are. But he says, if you're a child of God this morning, live justly, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. If you're here this morning and you know not Christ, that's the first requirement. You must come to Jesus before you can even attempt to fulfill these other requirements. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who can say this first Sunday of the new year, 2012, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. I am happy to be saved. I know that if I die today, heaven's my home. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, that's me. Slip it up way up high and say, preacher, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a born-again child of God. Wonderful. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I'm going to ask you this morning in Jesus' name to have your will and way in this invitation. Father, I don't know who's saved and who's not saved, but you do. I don't know who's been struggling with their salvation. I don't know the pretenders from the professors. I don't know, but you do. And I ask you that today, if there might be some in this auditorium, Lord God, that's a pretender, that today they start off this new year coming boldly and coming faithfully to the throne of grace this morning. Please, would you move in this invitation today in the hearts and lives of the people of God. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking.